Chapter 17, It's Not My Fault. A while back, I hired a full-time mechanic to work on my jet to reduce the maintenance costs and improve its reliability. He was sitting in my office with my pilot, my CFO, and myself, and we carefully and slowly pointed out to him all the reasons he should incorporate to save money and provide more asset protection. I told him I'd put him on a salary if he insisted, but it had cost him a lot of money in lost deductions and other benefits, and there was really no reason not to incorporate. Of course, that would mean he'd have to make tax deposits and file one more tax return each year to save at least $10,000 in taxes he's currently paying. I even volunteered my CFO to handle the tax deposits for him. The next morning, my mechanic called and said he decided he'd rather be an employee. This corporation stuff was just too much to handle, and it kept him awake at night. He just couldn't deal with the idea of doing anything new or different to improve his financial position in life, which obviously sucked. Actually, it didn't surprise me at all, and I expected his answer to be exactly what it was. When he gets too old to work and applies for Social Security, his net worth will be approximately what it was the day he was born. Why? Because he won't accept responsibility for his own actions and do what it takes to effect a positive change. Unfortunately, that's exactly how 95% of the population reacts and why only 5% are in the high-income, high-wealth bracket. I hope you're one of the five. The opposite of this story is my pilot Don, whom I accidentally found because his wife works at Global Publishing. He works for Delta and has several thousand hours in cockpit. I know he's reading this, so I have to be careful what I say, but I think he'll agree with my assessment of his situation. You see, he has one big problem. He's a thinker brain. Now, I'm glad he is. All pilots should be. The world needs thinker brains to keep us reptile brains in check. But his analytical personality tends to make him overanalyze and spend more time on what can go wrong than what can go right. It takes him five times more facts to make a decision than it does me. In spite of this handicap, he's bought his first investment house with no money and over $50,000 in equity. He simply got the deed after a seller called him on the ad. The house needed 15 in work, which he finally got completed after three and a half months after buying the house. That's right, 3.5 months for a job that would take 2 weeks. But hey, it's his first deal and his first experience with contractors, so I'll cut him some slack. He'll still do well because he bought right. No money down, no personal liability, and a lot of equity on a well-located house. Give him a round of applause. I'll keep you posted when he sells the house, which will probably be about a year from now. Just kidding, Don. I know it won't take a day over 6 months to move that house. Now, I'm told there are two people who you shouldn't insult, your cook and your pilot, who has your life in your hands. Seriously, kudos to Don for being bold enough to make that first move. In his world of thinker brains, pilots, he gets criticized for even trying. In spite of that, he's slowly overcoming his fears and pushing forward to his first real estate success, then his second and his third, I hope, until one day, not too far off, he'll be making more money than the CEO of Delta, and maybe even hiring his own pilot. Now, the difference between Don and the mechanic is, Don is moving forward and the mechanic has his head in the sand. Don has accepted responsibility and the reality that everything that happens to him, good or bad, is his fault. I'm presently 20 pounds overweight. I don't like it. My pants don't fit right. My belt's too tight. It drains my energy and causes back pain, sometimes if I stay in bed too long. Not to mention, it distorts my manly physique and puts a strain on my heart. Then you may ask, well, why are you overweight? The answer, I eat too much crap and won't exercise my fat ass. Actually, I think I should sue the fast food restaurants for serving me that crap. They should know that their food makes people fat and the harm they're causing to society. It's all their fault. Or not. I know why I'm fat and how to fix it. It's simple. Eat less, move more. When I want it bad enough, you may consider me skinny. I also know that every business problem I incur is also my fault. And if I contract a disease of some sort, it's also my fault. Most likely from the crap I eat. No one to blame but myself. Okay, Ron, what's the point? If your business is not going the way you like, there's a reason. It ain't lack of opportunity. If you're not in the financial position you'd like to be, it's not because of a shortage of opportunity. You need to get that out of your head. Opportunity is all around you. My world is fully populated with people who started from scratch, from zero or worse than zero, and quickly created large income, successful businesses, and wealth in a dizzying short time, from real estate investing to sales to speaking to direct marketing to you name it. In fact, there are so many ways to start from zero and do well financially, the only real reason to stay poor are ignorance, laziness, and habit. Now, that sounds harsh to anyone listening that is poor, and I get it. This is not to suggest I have no empathy for people in financial trouble or who are poor. I've been both, and I recognize there are people who legitimately have never had exposure to the very idea of possibilities to do better, and that it's a societal problem we ought to address differently than we do. But I doubt you're in that category if you're reading this book. Odds are you aren't that deprived and ignorant. You aren't an illiterate third-generation welfare dependent who has never been outside the ghetto. You know better. And if you know it is possible to do well rather than doing poorly and being disappointed about it, demands action, not acceptance of failure. If you're not doing well in real estate or any business, here's a list of reasons why. Of course, you may be saying, I couldn't possibly know why you're not doing well, and it's none of my business. And you'd be correct. You'd be wrong on both counts, though, if you just assume that it is not your fault. Your problems are no different than those I've helped students solve for years now and helping you get rich in my business. You want to know a secret? It's not really that hard. You're halfway there now because you've already cracked the code of success. If you want to get rich, you must first put yourself in a position to do so. You've done that. You're a real estate entrepreneur or an internet marketer or both or about to be. You found your vehicle. Now all you have to do is put it in drive and give it some gas and let no SOB stop you. Well, let's get back to the list of reasons that'll stop you from doing well. Number one, not generating enough leads. There's plenty of marketing techniques that we teach. You can learn most of them on the Go Club, most certainly in my four-day training. Generating leads is easier today than it has ever been in my 36 years of real estate, and frankly, it's the easiest part of the business. However, step number one, locating prospects, is the most important of the five steps, so generating leads is critical if you expect a success. Wasting leads. This is a training problem, easily fixed by attending our training events. Don't attend, you're going to waste leads. Do attend, you'll make money. One half of one deal pays for all of my training. You lost that much this week. Check your trash can. The art of pre-screening is critical. You must learn it quickly or face extinction. Once you learn it, 1 hour a week pre-screening leads will drive $1 million business. Until you learn it, $1 million business will drive you 20 hours a week or more, wasting productive time. Number three, you simply won't get the contract signed even when you can. This is a fear problem that can be fixed with persistence and a little grit. Get off your butt and go see the sellers. You pre-screen and get the contract. The paperwork will be wrong. You'll say the wrong things, talk too much, make a mess, and then discover nobody cares. That's one reason why we currently have mentors to help you when you're in that process. They will literally talk to the sellers for you and look at your contracts and help you correct them before you ever go to the house. Check out getting yourself a personal mentor on our website, ronlegrand.com. For 6 months, they hold you by the hand and lead you to get checks and force you to do the right things. Number four, you're getting deals but having trouble selling fast enough. Again, this is a training problem. Get to our class and learn how to sell on autopilot. Get the biggest problems out of the way. You. Let our system work. Quit fighting it because you think you can do it better. Maybe you can. But if the roof is leaking, you don't wait until it caves in to fix it. Put my system in place first, then make it better. Then you'll discover you don't need to improve on a system that sells houses faster than you ever could. I've personally done over 3,000, and can you imagine how many houses my students have sold? It must measure in the millions. If you're talking to buyers before they've seen the house and been pre-screened, you're doing it wrong and making a mess. Unless you're only talking to them to get some information to determine whether you want to send them to the house. It's your fault. If you're showing houses, you need therapy. It's your fault. If you're not getting enough leads, you're lazy. It's your fault. Fix this part of your business and the biggest time waster of all has been slain. Take a trip where you can think and analyze what the real problem is and go to work on the solutions. They're really not hard to find and implement. Ask yourself this. Has anyone else in my area ever had the same problems and overcame them? And of course, you know what the answer is. It is yes. Closing. There are risks and costs to a program of action, but they are far less than the long-range risk and costs of comfortable inaction. John Fitzgerald Kennedy.